Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. We are live in Kansas City, presented by Brentwood Hearing Center and Farm Bureau Health Plans. A jam-packed show kicks off right now with our next guest, former Titans quarterback, also former Patriot and Chief quarterback, among others, Matt Cassel, who was nice enough to join us a couple of weeks ago in our broadcast in Providence, Rhode Island, joins us now by phone. Matt, great to hear from you again, man. How are you?
Great. How are you guys enjoying that weather down there in Kansas City? I heard it's a beautiful day.
Just great. The freezing rain is here, and that means playoff football is here. We're glad to be here, though, because a lot of the rest of the Titans fan base and media can't get here yet.
Oh, I bet. I mean, it's crazy down there. I saw the weather report. I was like, at least this isn't Sunday, so you guys are good to go. Stay warm inside.
Matt Cassel, our guest. Hey, I was watching NFL Live earlier this week on ESPN, and we saw you while we were in studio. And you made reference to the Titans' offensive line when they asked you about Derrick Henry and the job that the O-line has done against New England and Baltimore. What have you noticed from the Titans up front?
I mean, they've been controlling the line of scrimmage. And you know what? Anytime your running back is carrying the ball 30-plus times a game and running for the yardage that he is, it starts with the offensive line. It's the attitude of the offensive line and that confidence that this offense has produced and developed over the season. It all comes and starts with that offensive line. I mean, it starts with Taylor Lewan, Saffold, Ben Jones, Nate Davis, Jack Conklin. I mean, it's an attitude. It's that they're going to impose their will on somebody. And I said this the other day. I was like, you know, they know that they're going to run the ball. The defense knows that they're going to run the ball, and they're still able to do it against 8-9-man boxes at times. And that's the most impressive thing, and it starts with those guys. But it's not just the offensive line. It's the tight end position. It's the wide receivers. It's everybody buying into the fact that, hey, we've got to give maximum effort to go out there, create holes, and let Derrick Henry do what he does.
You know, there's a perception that if a quarterback is playing well, the stats will show it. And stats are the only way to know how a quarterback is playing. Ryan Tannehill has thrown for less than 100 yards in 2 wins on the road in the playoffs. Has he played well, even though the stats wouldn't show these huge performances?
There's no doubt. In my mind, he has. I mean, obviously, he's had one mistake that I've seen him make, which was the errant throw in the Patriot game, which was intercepted, which was a bad throw, and he wished he had back. Other than that, he's played great football. He's taken care of the football. He's made the throws when he's needed to. He had the big third down conversion against the tight end to Fursker, to Anthony, and the third down to extend the drive and also take more time off the clock. The throw that he had in the Patriot game for the touchdown pass, same thing. I mean, he's made the throws when he needs to. Khalif Raymond against Baltimore, I mean, the big throw down, his accuracy down the field on those throws have been incredible. And while he's not asked to throw the ball 30 times, when he needs to step up, when he needs to make that big throw, deliver the football, he's been able to do that. And then also the little run that he had for the touchdown in the Baltimore game was outstanding as well. So I think he's done an outstanding job. He's played at a really high level. And sometimes you have to play to your team's strengths. And right now they're playing and riding the horse. I mean, let's be honest, Derrick Henry's doing what he's doing. But when he needs to step up, when he needs to convert those pivotal third downs, keep a drive going, and manage that football game, Tannehill's done an outstanding job.
Former Chiefs and Titans quarterback Matt Cassel with us.
So when your time came to go be a starter in the league, you knew you wanted to get an opportunity. But the guy that was tossed into that trade with you was Mike Vrabel. I asked him this week if he saw that coming or if he was surprised, because I don't remember. And he said, oh, come on, man, you get what you ask for, before he kind of caught himself and reminded himself he's not talking about stuff like that this week. Can you recollect for us what it was like for him, from your perspective, to be going with you after his pretty glorious 8 years in New England when he won 3 Super Bowls?
Yeah, I think it was a big adjustment for him, obviously, after 8 years with the New England Patriots, the guy that had been a staple there and a team leader, and the relationships that he built. I'm sure that it was a surprising move, just considering, you know, the time that he put in with the New England Patriots. And I'm sure that there was times where he's a little bit pissed off about it, to be quite honest with you. But at the same time, the New England Patriots, throughout their history with Belichick, they've always done that, whether it's Ty Law, whether it's Willie McGinnis. When they get to a certain point in their career and they maybe want to go younger or do something like that, they don't hesitate. And it doesn't matter the tenure that you've been with the team or how long or what you've meant to that organization in the past. If Bill Belichick thinks that he's going to go out and go younger and make improvements to his roster, he's going to do that. And now I felt very fortunate that a guy like Vrabel, who could still play, and his leadership and what he brought to the ball club in Kansas City was coming and was also a good friend of mine. And so the comfort level that I had with him and, you know, the ability for him to come into that locker room and kind of be a coach on the field at the same time, help those young guys come along, was a huge impact for our team.
How many touchdown passes did you throw to him here in KC?
In KC, I threw two. Yeah, but he loved to line up at the, when we got into that goal line personnel, he'd always come down. We'd be in the middle of practice, and then all of a sudden it would be goal line, and here comes Raves. He loved it. He'd go run routes. When you do routes on air, 7-on-7, anything that you wanted him to come down. And so we had two, one against Houston, and I forget the other one, but the other one was like a little pop pass to him. So both times, he has great hands. He was really pissed at me one time, though, because I fired the ball at him. He's like, Castle, take a little off, man. I'm okay.
So good.
Matt Castle, our guest. How has this Titans team taken on the personality of Vrabel when you watch them play?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, Vrabel brings that element. He was always a tough, smart, fundamentally sound football player, and he was a technician. And I said this the other day. I was like, sometimes the personality of a team takes on their head coach, and you can see that. They're fundamentally sound. They're great at technique, and they're well-coached, and they play with a passion and an eagerness just like he did when he was playing the game. And I think that he preaches those guys, there's nothing to be scared about. We got to go out. We got to play free. And at the same time, those guys know that he's been in this position before, so they respect what he says. It's not just him talking and saying, we got to do this, that, and the other. They understand that he's been in these big moments. He's been in these games before. He understands the environment, the culture, what it's going to be like. And so the preparation that goes forward and throughout the course of a week and getting ready for these big games, I think it's probably reassuring to those guys that they understand that they've got a leader on board that's been through it all.
Matt, I was watching the KC-Houston game, as I'm sure you were, and it just crossed my mind. If you told me that the Chiefs scored 51 points, I'd probably imagine somewhere between 3 to 5 deep shots from Mahomes for touchdowns in that game. But there were none of those. He had two passes that traveled more than 20 yards in the air. And I think it's crazy that Mahomes is known for being this gunslinger, which he is, but he's not known for turning the football over. He protects the football well, which he probably doesn't get enough credit for, given his style of play.
I completely agree with you 100% on that. Like, when you hear the word gunslinger, the first guy that always comes to mind is the Brett Favre of the world, that he'd throw the ball up into triple coverage, and it would be the worst pick in the world, but he's going to keep throwing it, and then he's going to come back and make some unbelievable throws that you're like, how did he make that throw? Patrick Mahomes has that same type of ability where he can throw from all different angles. He can throw outside the pocket. He's got great versatility and he keeps his eyes down the field. Those guys react well to him. But at the same time, when he does these things, everybody thinks that he's just taking these risks. But at the same time, these are calculated risks, and he understands what he's doing, and he's accurate, but he protects the football. He doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't put his team in bad positions where he's just making errant throws where you're going, God, that's double coverage. You should have known that. But these are calculated risks that he takes. And, I mean, I just enjoy watching him play because he does things that no other quarterback in the NFL can do.
You think it's a situation where Chris Jones plays almost no matter how bad it is because of 60% Chris Jones is probably better than a lot of other options? Or you think there's a situation where they say, hey, we got to go without him, and if we win, a 3-week rested Chris Jones will give us a hell of a chance in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's a big factor to me. I mean, Chris Jones is a heck of a player. I mean, he's speed, he's power, and he's a very instinctive player on that interior part of the line and gives that defensive line a huge boost for Kansas City. Now, it's going to be one of those situations that the trainers, the medical staff, everybody are going to have to check where he's at with that calf, because even if you put him out there and he's 60% and he gets going and he's in there for two plays and the next thing you know he re-injures it, and if they for some reason do win, now you've lost him for the Super Bowl. So you've got to be careful and you've got to listen to the player, but at the same time the training staff's going to be pivotal in that decision. But at the same time, if he can go, I know he wants to go. I mean, it's the AFC Championship game. It's for all the marbles. You don't think about next week saving yourself for the Super Bowl or anything like that. You're like, we have to win this game to get to our ultimate goal, which is to play in the Super Bowl. So if he can go, I'm sure he will, but at the same time, it'll be very interesting to see where he's at from a health standpoint, because again, that defense is dramatically different. So I'd say, especially on the interior part of that defensive line with Chris Jones.
Matt Castle, our guest. Matt, with the Chiefs offense, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, paired with Kelce, then Damian Williams out of the backfield. Will you take us behind the formations and concepts of what you see and how they pair their speed at receiver with athleticism at tight end, and how Mahomes can fit the football into any level of the field?
Right. Well, I mean, they have all the different types of passes. And when I say passes, I mean concepts in the passing game. You know, their level passing game progression. You see a lot of the drive routes with the shots on the outside. And then you'll see the all-go pattern, but then they'll utilize the back. And really, a lot of times when you're playing a lot of zone against a team like this, you're going to get the drive routes. And then these guys are well taught. So when they see that soft part in the zone, they sit down. And you saw that with Kelce a lot in the red zone last week, where he finds a spot, feels leverage, works away from the leverage, and he finds that little soft spot. So the zone part of it is difficult to play this team because they're very well coached in terms of they find those soft spots and they have a lot of those easy throws. When I say easy throws, I mean the stick routes, the jerk routes over the ball. So, and then they do a good job of moving Kelce around. They'll separate him for the formation. They'll put him out as a single receiver at times. And let's make no joke about it. I mean, Kelsey's a wide receiver as well, right? And so, and they know how to utilize their speed too with Tyreek Hill. And I mean, Hardman and Watkins, they just have a very dynamic group of players. At the same time, I mean, the Tennessee Titans have a very good secondary as well with the health of Adoree Jackson coming back. His speed and quickness, I think he's a good matchup for Tyreek Hill this week. Logan Ryan's one of the best in the game in terms of being instinctive as a slot receiver. I mean, a slot nickelback. Byard, Vaquero's playing well. I think Jayon Brown, let's see what he can do because he is a very active and he's got great agility there at the linebacker position. So he can give a boost on the inside of being able to cover a little bit better than some of these other guys at that linebacker position. So I think it'll be a great test, as it always is, and you can't sit there and expect this ever to be a shutdown where you're going to go out there and try to shut down this team. You've got to mix and match your coverages. I think the biggest thing in this game is going to be if they can create some interior pressure with the inside part of that defensive line with Jarrell Casey and Daquan Jones and Simmons and Austin Johnson. I mean, they're going to have a big game this week because you look at that team and they've got really strong tackles with Eric Fisher and Michelle Schwartz. I think those are two of the best tackles in the game, the tandem of the two of them. But interior-wise, I think that they can create some serious pressure on the inside of that pocket, and you've got to somehow make Mahomes uncomfortable.
Matt Castle has been our guest. Matt, thank you so much for the insight.
Terrific.
We've loved the last two visits, and hopefully we can catch up soon.
Absolutely, fellas. Have a good one.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt Castle, former Titans and Chiefs quarterback, has been our guest. Coming up, Warren Sharp from sharpfootballstats.com will get the analytic approach to Titans and Chiefs. Always excellent analysis from Warren Sharp. He's next on the Midday 180 here on 104.5 The Zone.
How would you like to wipe out that Christmas credit card debt? Lower your mortgage payment. Get your financial house in order for 2020. You can with a call to my friends at Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. Do it now. Get a no-cost home refi with Loan Pronto. You can drop to a lower rate, a shorter term, get some cash out of your equity to pay off all that other debt you racked up in 2019. Start the new year with a clean slate. Call 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Do it now. They'll cover your closing costs, and you can even skip your next house payment. LoanPronto.com, all digital, super fast. They beat the bank rates with zero junk fees and zero hassle. This is how home mortgages are supposed to be. Call now, especially if your current mortgage rate starts with a 4. Go into 2020 with a fresh start financially. LoanPronto.com, it takes 30 seconds, or call 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval. No closing cost option, not available on all loans.